Harrison.
Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show, where we celebrate top performers producing better results in less time. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Stone?
I am doing well. Very excited about this segment brought to us once again from our good buddies at BusinessWise. Better data, better decisions, but I'm well rested. I'm feeling spry. Hired a new lawn service over the weekend.
Yeah, you got rid of that neighbor kid? You went with a new plan?
Well, you know what? I didn't fire him before, so I hired the lawn service one day. The kid comes behind, mows the grass. Now I got to call the guy that I hired and explain to him why the grass that I just hired him to cut is already cut. So it's all becoming very complicated.
That's it. Yeah. You have two lawn services.
Exactly. I've got two at the moment. So mom's down in Florida taking care of my mom after the surgery. So it's just me and Kelly, and so we're eating well. And spending money on multiple services. What'd you do over the weekend?
We did not much. We went to the movies, took my kid to see 21 Jump Street, as a good parent does of a middle school child.
Oh, nicely played. Is that just a goofy, silly movie? Or?
Yeah, it's my comic sensibilities, a little pushing the envelope of appropriateness, and also educational to show my kid what high school's like.
Marvelous. You know? Well, I'm on episode 5 of season 2 of Downton Abbey, and I most absolutely have decided I need a valet and a chauffeur.
There you go.
I like the way those folks live.
See the two strata that we each occupy.
So enough about you. We really do have a fantastic guest in the studio today. First up on the High Velocity Radio Show this morning is a lady from a company called Right to Market. Her name is Mary O'Neill. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here, too.
Well, we're delighted to have you. And you come to us as a nominee for one of Atlanta's best connectors. Give our friends out there in the listening audience a little bit of a feel for what that's all about, Lee.
Yes, it was one of our accidental series that came about. We put out a blast to, I think, our list one time, and we said, hey, does anybody know any connectors out there? We'd like to do a kind of a series on connectors. And we thought we'd get, you know, a handful of people that say, oh, yeah, this person's good or that person's good. And we got probably close to 100 nominees in different verticals around business here in Atlanta. It was really amazing. So we've been doing this now for a long time, it seems.
Right.
How long? At least a month.
Oh, yeah. Over a month. I'd say close to 6 weeks. And now we're looking at T-shirts, lunchboxes, figure dolls, bobbleheads, the whole thing.
We're trademarking that. And then maybe we'll talk to this guest about how to put an event together around this.
Right. So why do you suppose someone would nominate you as one of Atlanta's best connectors? Are you really good at this connecting thing, you think?
Yeah, I love it. I love meeting people and connecting people. So it's really like the pay it forward for, you know, meeting people and giving them something that's helpful to them. The person that nominated me, I've got a list of like hundreds of people that want to do, you know, come to my events. I do some charity work in Atlanta and just want to hear what's the new news.
So what's your favorite part about the work you're doing? You work with Right to Market.
Yes.
Yeah, tell us a little bit
about
that.
It's a public relations firm, and they sort of have the vertical that they plan is medium-sized business, oil, gas, energy, the medium-sized businesses that want some public relations, really don't have much marketing, but want to add that to their business portfolio. And we've got a special way for them to track what we're doing, which most agencies don't. So it's about awareness, building awareness for their business through speaking engagements, through being in the media, and any other way we can get them out there. Know, write a book, whatever needs to be done.
So what's your role for Right
to Market? I'm actually a strategic account director, so more strategy and building the messaging. I was at Coca-Cola previously for a very long time, so in marketing.
So that's the story behind the red coat. Our listeners can't see it, but she has a Coca-Cola-esque coat on today.
I know. It just gets in your blood. You love red when you're there, and you can't. It's a brainwashing, but it's a good one.
And so you've worked for a really large organization. Now I'm operating under the impression Right to Market is probably a fairly small one.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that transition.
Yeah, no, it went from, probably one of the biggest companies in the world to a small company, anything smaller than Coke after a while. So I loved working at Coke and learned so much. It's sort of like getting a mini graduate degree in marketing, but really wanted to use those skills to build business. I love business and helping people build their business and build their culture. So found Right to Market because I love the PR side and the marketing side. So really, we end up doing everything for these clients. We do marketing, we do promotion, we do whatever you want us to do. But it's building their message and then helping them connect with the right people to get their message out there.
Now, what was it like when you were working with Coke? You're in a situation where people return your phone calls, you know,
yeah.
everybody
yeah,
likes
you. Yeah, you were married with Coke.
Right.
Now she's married.
Now you're married, and then it's a little different world that you've entered. Did that kind of force you into networking? Because I know a lot of people in big companies, and then, you know, when they have that name, you know, a big company name next to their name, then they think, wow, this is easy.
Yeah.
It's easy to network and meet
right.
people. I just show up and everybody wants to be my friend.
<laughs> You know? Well, so, it was kind of happenstance, actually, in some ways. I think it's partly personality for me because I love meeting people and hearing their story. And so at Coke, it's actually, there's a big networking thing just to find your next job there. So I was the chair of the women's forum there. And really just, it was like people kept saying, you're so good at this. I was helping getting speakers in to talk to women at Coke for free, you know, and negotiating those deals and getting them business through Coke. So yeah, in some ways it was easy at Coke, but in other ways, the things that we were trying to do, I was trying to do on the side were not. But yeah, but now it's about creating what does this person need and what do they want and how can I support them in that effort? And it's really a creative thing. I think it comes out of being creative and a little bit random. You know, this, the guy who invented LinkedIn, he talks about how, this whole new universe of it's kind of randomness and you just have to see what's out there to put ideas up against the wall and try them. So keep on meeting different people. And I have like 1,000 interests, so I could talk to anyone about anything. And it's really helpful to me to just be, you know, and you see sort of the 3 degrees of separation. But it's really giving people something they need through that discussion, since they won't call you back, you're right, unless you say Coca-Cola.
So how do you decide who to connect with? Do you cast a wide net, or are you very strategic and very pinpointed about who you want to connect with each week?
Yeah, well, initially I did do the wide net, and now it's more about like who, thinking about like what people have really supported what I want to get done in the last month, and sort of going back and making sure, kind of go through who are these people that could support me in my nonprofit events with Right to Market or with other things that I'm doing, and keeping those ties, but then finding new ties. And of course, letting go of the other folks who aren't supporting, not in a way that's, you know, I mean, with LinkedIn and Facebook and everything we have now, they still see the stream of what's going on. But it's, I think you can only keep up with, you know, what the quote is, you can only keep up with about 100 people at once, even though if you have 5,000 connectors, you know, LinkedIn connections.
Now, when you're at an event, how do you go about kind of working the room?
Mm.
Or do you have a strategy on that?
Yeah, you know, it depends. It's I'm usually, let's see, I would try and focus on people like the, what am I doing here? For example, I was at something called InterNations last week, which is a group in Atlanta that's just people who are interested in global connections and global networking. And so I'm going to London and Ireland in September. So I had a purpose with that, which was to get some advice on where to stay and what to do, and also connect with those folks that feed my interest around global topics. So yeah, and also see what business was there for Right to Market.
Now, you were going in there, you went to this event, so you kind of got an idea of who was attending, and
right.
you targeted them, and you were going to make sure that somebody introduced you to them, or you found them
yeah.
in the room?
Yeah, and also just, since I had that as a topic, I was asking people, so I'm going to London and Ireland, and this is what I'm doing. Do you know anyone here that's, you know, got that background or has knowledge? And they just would, you know, hook me up. And I would also not stay in the same place very long. That, I think, is the technique. I worked in Washington for a little while. You don't stay in the same place very long.
Hit and run.
Yeah.
But that sounds like great advice, to go into these things with a specific question or topic
yeah.
to talk about, as opposed to what do you do? I do this. How's it? Yeah, that's so that's really good, solid advice right there. Now, as long as you've been at it, as good as you are at it, presumably you have some great momentum in this whole connecting, networking
mm-hmm.
thing. But what about the person that may be listening that, you know what, they've never done a great job of it, but you know what, tomorrow.
I'm going to start
tomorrow. Tomorrow's always my favorite day, right? That's when I'm going to, you know, paint the house tomorrow. But tomorrow, what advice, if any, do you have about for the person that's just getting started in this thing?
Yeah, I think it is, you know, what's your purpose? Be really clear on your purpose. Figure out what you want to say that evening. And in some ways, it's a little bit of a prepared, you know, remarks. It's kind of like the elevator speech, which they used to teach us at Coca-Cola. If you get on the elevator with the CEO, what are you going to say? So what's your...
Yikes.
Don't fire me.
Yeah.
When's the next reorg?
What are you having for lunch today?
Right.
And so it's partly that. Just be prepared. Build knowledge about who's there, what's going on, what you want to get done there. And go into it with that. And of course, there's always the practice of what to say if you're really nervous, right? And they say stand by the food because there's always something going on at the food in the bar.
Plus, you can grab a bite of cheese while you're thinking about your answer, right? Somebody asks you a question. But Lee, we did this accidentally. But you and I, we're not so good at the in-person networking thing. A lot of people come here, we get to visit, and this is sort of our environment, our habitat. But when we went to that real estate connections thing, we had a very specific agenda. We wanted to talk with real estate people about a real estate Atlanta show.
Right, that we were building.
And so we accidentally kind of did what you're talking about. We had a very specific topic, and I thought we did pretty well for neophytes, don't you?
Right. And for us, the secret is we wear a shirt that says radio on it. So then people come up to us like, what is it?
I'm serious, though. The colors, wear bright colors, you know, look your best. Anyway, so those the wearing of whatever you're wearing, something interesting that people can talk about, a pin or anything, now, works as well.
You mentioned also that you organize some of these events. That's kind of a cheat too, right? That you're the organizer, so you kind of know everybody to begin with.
Yeah, that's true, where they're trying to find out who you are.
Right.
Yeah, I've done I've done this event 4 years in a row called the Red Dress Party, and it's for women's heart health. Coke, Diet Coke is a big sponsor. So I just said, you know, and I was chair of the women's forum at Coke. So we did a lot of community outreach around women's issues. So I just kept that going even after I left Coke, which was the red dress, breast cancer. And so, yeah, people love to hear about that. And actually, that's also a great topic for every other event you're at, too. Because, you know, you really do want to walk into the room with something to say, even if it's, you know, what's my passion? What do I want to get, you know, and all different topics are helpful.
So say more about your involvement with community nonprofit, because I get the sense this is a very large part of your life. This is not just a, you know, a little aside. This is something you really
pour yourself
into.
Yeah, no, it's something I'm really passionate about. I mean, I've always been passionate about the women's issues and helping women grow. And I taught leadership development at Coke. So, you know, globally. So I saw a lot of the need for that. And, you know, it's just a great way to contribute. And it's sort of an intrinsic thing. It's hard to explain, but it just, you know, it makes me feel great to do that. And people love going to parties. So this event has gotten bigger and bigger. And we've, made more, created more opportunities of funding for American Heart Association and for the breast cancer, because a lot of the nonprofits, I'm on the Synchronicity Theater board too, just really don't know how to manage, don't know PR. They're artistically creative or, you know, they
get... But they really need somebody with your skills to help them.
And it's easy to me. You know, it's one of those things when they say your passions should be easy and you flow. So it's really easy to me to say you should give to this cause. And of course, I create the whole, like, red dress. You know, who doesn't love wearing a red dress? And the guys love seeing the red dress. So create themes around that are kind of throughout the event and ways for people to give and ways for people to connect.
Now, this event, this specific event, do guys come too, or is it just women that come to this?
Now, it's like, it's both, yeah.
Okay, so
women get dressed up. The guys don't really know what to wear, though. They always ask me that every year.
Maybe a red tie.
I know that. There you go. That seems pretty easy to me.
But Abby could wear a red dress, and Holly could wear a red dress, and we could an evening of it. So you've mentioned LinkedIn a couple times in this conversation. Speak to that particular tool a little bit, if you will, but also just about using the social media platforms in general for connecting.
Yeah, I mean, it's really easy, I think, and you were talking about, you know, so if you're a beginner at this, you don't have to speak to anyone. You just make a LinkedIn profile. No, I mean, LinkedIn, I mean, that was a gold mine. And LinkedIn, since it's a business-focused networking or connecting application, you know, I would keep it updated, but just put it out there. And the more that you're engaged with LinkedIn, the more they push your face up to the top. And it's funny because now that I'm in PR, I've learned even more about putting you know, sort of the ideas out there. And I just will forward some of their articles that are interesting to me. Some of the topics that are interesting to me are leadership, which is really broad across all companies. Leadership, and then for entrepreneurs, how to build your business, how to use social media to build your business.
So you'll send that out to everybody, or you'll send it out to like a handful of people?
I send it out to my whole network, which is about, you know, 3,000 people now, and it automatically goes to Twitter as well.
Uh-huh.
So it gets a Twitter feed, and so, yeah, so people have called me lately and said, you keep popping up. Why is that? I'm like,
because
I engage with LinkedIn. Yeah,
right.
And it's not hard. I mean, I think, you know, we have this whole generational thing, right, where you know, if you weren't brought up with the computer and the LinkedIn thing, people perceive it to be difficult. But it's pretty easy to share an article. And it makes people come back and say, hey, you know, what are you doing these days?
Right.
And how do you know, blah, blah, blah.
It just stays top of mind in a non-salesy way. You're
exactly.
Just being helpful.
Yeah, exactly. You're being helpful. You're talking about your passions, your interests, and
you're not saying buy my stuff.
Yeah, no,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think that's the whole thing. And the guy who founded LinkedIn has written a book called Start Me Up, which is you know, about starting your career and changing your career. And people are changing careers all the time. So how do you? Of course, it is still self-serving for him because it's LinkedIn.
Right.
But
right.
He does say, you know, it's you know, people that say, you know, you give your card and they say, yeah, call me. Until they say no, you know, you still should try and connect with them. And on a different topic than I need a job right now.
Right.
I think that's what happens. People go, I need a job. And, right. And it's really about saying, I'm interested in meeting you, or I have something I want to share with you, or tell me more about you.
Right.
There's always something you can share with them.
Right. I think people don't realize that a ton of people would be open to kind of an informational, just chatting.
Exactly.
Like learning about each other rather than do something for me. You
yes.
know, and they have the, look, I need a job now. That's the most important thing in my life. So that's the only thing I care about. You know, so hook me up.
And
that kind of desperation kind of makes people say, you know what? Not right now.
Right. No, desperation is not attractive.
That's not
in the dating world or in the connecting world.
Just a rule of thumb.
It doesn't work at all.
Right.
So how important is immediate and thorough follow-up behind these events, particularly when you're meeting someone in person? Is it important to try to follow up with everyone, or is it important to make a point of saying, I'm going to follow through with you because there's an article I want to send you?
Yeah.
How do you manage that stuff?
I mean, I would personally pick the people that I think will be the most useful to me. I mean, I always, sort of link in with everyone or Facebook them or however they are connected. And then I just follow up with the key people, you know, and actually, cause I'm hosting the party, a lot of people are following up with me. Usually it's kind of, that's like
right.
The Coke thing. They want to sell you something. So they're following up with you. But yeah, it's reciprocal. I also go out and you know, I've been, when I've looked at for different jobs, whether it was in Coke or outside, you know, just always kind of connecting with people, even when it doesn't work out. So trying to stay connected with the managers I met or whoever I met, so that it keeps your circle, because it's kind of a mentoring thing after a while. So therefore, you're not desperate. You're just asking for your advice or helping them. Hey, I saw something you might be interested in.
Now, you mentioned Pay It Forward, and that was a popular movie, and it's Bob Littell is kind of actively involved. I don't know if you know Bob.
Yeah, I know.
Okay,
same, yeah.
So do you think that kind of way of thinking about things is becoming more prevalent? Maybe after this downturn of the economy, people are kind of taking that tact rather than the, you know, pitch, sell mentality.
Yeah, I do. I think it's sort of what we were just talking about, the concept we were just talking about, which is be helpful with helpful advice for others.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm meeting someone and I'm like, oh, you should meet this person, and hooking them up, I mean, it's like it kind of duplicates the effort on all sides. Like, you know, for example, I'm from Boston, actually, and a good friend of mine moved to Boston, and I said, oh, I know this, you know, I like all
right.
these people, so you should meet them and just connect with them and see what they think. And, you know, then that gives me both a reason to connect with those people myself again and my friend to you know, get contacts up there.
Yeah.
So it builds you kind of become bigger than you are, if you
right.
will. And it's fun. I think it's fun. I mean, it's, you know.
Now, what's your? How much vetting do you do before you make a referral? Do you have any type? Like, you meet somebody at a networking event. You know, maybe you've just met them and they're like, "Hey, I'm moving to Boston. Are you handing out?" You know,
no. You're this is like a really good friend of mine that moved there. She
right,
worked for Coke, but yeah, that's a good question.
Have you ever gotten that note though? Hey, would you refer me? Like, you right. just you don't even remember what the person looks like, much less know their work.
Yeah, I won't. I'll actually usually say, or I'll kind of connect with them on the phone and say, "Let's talk a little bit." And depending on kind of where they are, I might give them other advice.
Right.
So I usually don't say, you know, no, I won't help you, but I'll certainly chat with them. I get a lot of alumni from different, you know, students calling me, and I'm like, you need, you know, volunteer for a while today or whatever. It's just right. helping them and, you know, and actually saying, why don't you send me an email? Because phone is just so challenging today to get on the phone with everyone.
Right.
But try and give everyone a response. So, but yeah, I definitely only would connect people if I really think that they're going to be a good match. And, you know, I'm working with CEOs of companies now at Right to Market, so I definitely don't send them and just anyone or send them just any information. But I work with Jaipur Rugs and their foundation. So we're trying to help them support their foundation and bring in others to think about where should they go with this. And I certainly want to be careful.
So you have to be protective of your network. You're not just handing it out to anybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Protect is a good word. Yep.
So I want to hear a little bit more about the work before we wrap up at Right to Market. Do you, all this great information that Lee and I are getting for free, do you have this same kind of conversation with your clients? In addition to executing on the PR, do you have this conversation with them about connecting and leveraging what you're able to tee up for them through the PR?
We do. Yeah. You know, one of the big topics today is social media. So we definitely try and that's like an easy thing to talk to them about. It's like you should have a LinkedIn profile. You should be this active. This is how many posts you should have. So it's kind of a very practical.
So you get very tactical in the number, like
mm-hmm.
two posts
yeah,
a week or
yep.
this or that. And
yep. And your tweets. And so and it's, you know, they're mostly 50 plus or the like, what do you want me to do? So, and I've got like, it's really interesting. So the 20 somethings are working for me and they're like, it should look like this, this, and this. So we give them a lot of partial advice, but also, yeah, advice on just ways to connect. And Lisa is great at that too. Lisa Calhoun, the CEO. So
right.
just bringing, because we're working with so many different clients, we try and connect our clients together if we can, which is, you know, multiplicative
for us. That's a
great
idea too. Look at that. Right. Man, this lady's
man.
Got a lot to
I hope you write that one. Write that one down.
No, that's a great idea though, getting your clients connected. I don't think people automatically think like
no.
that. You're attuned to think like that because you genuinely believe in paying it forward and helping people build relationships.
Yeah, and I think it's just a way of thinking. I'm really creative. I mean, at Coke, they would say I was a great connector too. I was in marketing and then went to global training and brought our customers in to talk about their training because like Walmart and they wanted to know how other people were working. And
right.
they were like, who thought about that? But if you have that sort of multi diverse background, you think about that. You just think, well, how about these people? Would that work? And sometimes it doesn't work, right? That's what
right.
it is. Sometimes it doesn't work, but it's, you know, it's the whole risk thing. I think, you know, 90% of it's risk. So just trying something and seeing, is there a match here?
Right.
And being strategic about it.
And do more of what works and
right, exactly.
stop doing what doesn't work.
Yeah, it's easy. It seems
that's
easy.
A good plan. So if our listeners want to connect with you and or learn more about Right to Market,
right
what's
to market,
the best
yeah.
way for them to reach out?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, so Mary O'Neill. And Mary at Right to Market is righttomarket.com is my email, which is a, you know, it's definitely a great firm. It's a you know, for medium-sized business, so check us out.
All right.
And then you want to talk about that Red Dress event and that cause?
Yeah, when's that coming?
Yeah, out? Actually, well, the Red Dress was in February, which makes sense, right? That's
yes, February,
but
makes
I
sense.
Am actually working on with the High Museum on their PR. So we're doing an event called the Catwalk Meets Canvas, which is an event in May 19th. And this is an opportunity for new and upcoming both fashion designers and artists to show their wares and for Atlanta community to see those and, you know, give back to the High. So it's a great, really fun, great DJ, great dancing. So come out and look for it on the high.org.
So May 19th, High Museum. And one more time, contact info for you at Right to Market.
Mary O'Neill, and it's Mary at righttomarket.com, right to The number two. Market.com.
And the word write, like write with a pen.
Yeah.
Yes. Got all that?
I got it. Well, it has been an absolute delight having you in the studio this morning, Mary.
You guys are great. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, Mary O'Neill, and everyone here at the Business Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.